Okay, I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I will fill in with the rest of my qualifications in a minute. Gotta say, this is something that I'm really, really nervous about because this is a share that I've not. It's not a typical share that I've done before. These are things that I'm sharing about that I haven't shared on meetings before. So, bear in mind, this is going to be a bit messy because my head's a little bit messy. but I think that kind of goes hand in hand with being in this meeting because my head's a bit messy. And my other qualifications are, at the moment, I accept that I am, my neurodiversity is, it's going to be a neurodiverse, by the way, not a free thinkers. It's going to be a bit of three fingers in there, but it's mostly going to be neurodiverse. I have borderline personality disorder. More politically correctly called unst see, I'm panicking already. Emotionally unstable personality disorder. I have functional neurological disorder, which ends up with non-epileptic seizure disorder. And I've been through an array of loads and loads and loads of diagnoses. So that would be my qualification. Also, I am a free thinker. I have no idea what my higher power is. I just know that there's something that isn't me, and that's all I care about. So to begin with, when did this start? When I was 4 years old, it was the first time when my parents realized that there was something a little bit different about me, that I wasn't quite. I need to be timing myself. There was something that wasn't quite right about me. So they took me to a psychologist, and I was diagnosed with, at the time, painfully shy. That was back in the 70s. So I think if they'd taken me there now, if you took a child there now with my exhibiting my what I was there, I would be diagnosed with I'd probably be on the autistic spectrum. I would probably be diagnosed with social phobia, and would definitely be diagnosed with ADHD. All of those, and all of those would probably have been medicated at the time. I was lucky enough to be born in an era where they were not medicated. I have a problem with medication that comes up later. Moving on a bit, I thought my childhood was kind of normal. It wasn't, as it turns out, but it was normal for me. It was normal for me. I thought it was normal, but it was just normal. I thought it was normal because that was normal, because then I looked at other people's families and I realized, okay, that looks different from mine. So what is normal? I had no idea what was normal. I didn't know what my thinking was normal. I didn't know what was normal. I had no idea what normality was. I had no idea why I thought the way I thought, and I had no idea why I questioned what I questioned. Moving on a little bit, I'm going to jump from year to year now. I'm going to try and keep it a timeline because otherwise my head gets a little bit spinny. So, slightly dysfunctional childhood, but didn't realize it at the time. My sister was born when I was 10 years old, and then I was left with, I'm not the center of attention in the family. I don't have to do the rescuing. And then I had to find myself, and I realized that I didn't have a self. I did not have a self. I did not have any identification whatsoever about who I was. What I was, what I believed, what I had no idea about who I was, or I didn't have any values, any morals. I had values and morals, but they weren't mine. They weren't, I hadn't been able to form them. I had no idea how to form them. Because I was just part of somebody else. I was just little bits of other people in my family. I was just filling in the little, stops in between person to person. And I had no identity, basically. Then when my sister arrived, suddenly, I had to find my own identity, and I panicked. I panicked big time. That was so around about 12, 13 years old. I lost the plot a little bit. My mental health went completely off the rails. And that's where my addiction started at around 13. I picked up everything. I picked up food, picked up alcohol and drugs. Yes, they are part of my story. I'm sorry if that offends anybody it's going to be in there, but it has to be because it's part of my truth. Food was my first drug of choice, and then alcohol, and then other drugs. Anything to take the bloody edge off of it. If anything that would take the edge off my emotions, because my emotions were so intense from the age of dot that I can remember, being so socially paralyzed when I was a child. I just did not have any idea of how to interact with anyone. I had no idea of how I could possibly interact with another human being. I just did not understand how to do that. It just wasn't a possibility. It's just like, you scare the crap out of me. Even though I'm related to you, I'm blood related to you. You're my cousin. You're my auntie. You're my uncle. I've known you all my life. I can't talk to you. Where's my mum? Where's my dad? And I was just like, somebody speak for me, because I was paralyzed. I could not speak. So that's when it kind of first hit. That was when early childhood. I'm going to go straight on to my teenage years, when I started to find that substances such as food and other substances would take the edge off of this. It would take the panic out of me. It would take the edge off of my anxiety, off my social anxiety. It would take me down a level, that I could almost function in society if I had something to grab hold of. Need to breathe, need to breathe, need to breathe. At this point, then I got referred to an educational psychologist, and they said, oh, yeah, she'll grow out of it. 30 years later, still hadn't grown out of it. 30 years later, do you think so? I grow out of my behavior? No. Completely missed that one. That was a complete, that. One went completely out of the ballpark. They missed that catch. Ended up in a young person's unit, diagnosed with bipolar, and board they were questioning schizophrenia because I was having psychotic episodes at the time. It wasn't psychosis, it was psychotic episodes. There's a difference between psychosis and psychotic episodes. I was having episodes. Was on a huge amount of completely irrelevant drugs that were totally that interfered with my functioning. They completely and utterly fucked up my thinking, and they fucked up my liver as well. I was misdiagnosed a million times by loads of psychiatrists, and I swore to myself that I wouldn't get angry on this share, but seemed to be getting angry already. It's not a
That's 10
resentment. It's
minutes.
thank you. I need to fast forward. Okay, so forward on from that. Really? Because that's not what my timer says. Sorry, I need to compose myself because I get emotional when I talk about this stuff because I'm not used to talking about this stuff. This stuff upsets me because I've been misdiagnosed so many times, and the point I'm trying to get to in the end is until I found OA, until I found the outside help that's actually good for me, I went through a series like decades and decades and decades of being misdiagnosed and misdiagnosed. They eventually came to a diagnosis that I had borderline personality disorder, EEPD. And then, because what my head does when things get too difficult in my head, what used to happen was it would just block my head out, but my body would still move. And I'd find myself sat by a body of water. It's always by a body of water for some reason. Don't know why, but for some reason, it's always next to a lake or a river or a stream. I gravitate towards water, and then I find like there's around me is an array of alcoholic and all sorts of like binge foods. Just like I just lost the plot completely. On ever I'd relapsed on everything, and then I said to my neurologist a few years ago, when these seizures started, is this the same thing? And he said, yes, your brain basically has just realized that that wasn't keeping you safe, so now your brain has decided that the only way to keep you safe is to knock you completely fucking out onto the floor into a series of seizures. So now I'm completely incapacitated. Every time anything overwhelms me, I will have a seizure, and it's a grand mal seizure, which is fine when I'm in bed because I can cope with that because I don't need an ambulance. It's not an epileptic fit. I don't need to go to hospital. But if it happens outside in the street, people call ambulances and all sorts of crap happens. I found coming into OA, actually working the steps, and I don't just mean working the steps because I worked the steps and that didn't really help. It was finding the people that I trusted in these rooms, and not just in these rooms because I have outside help as well that I really trust. And my key worker, for example, if she was an addict, I would be like, yes, I would want her to be my sponsor because she understands everything about me. She understands my neurology. She understands my addiction. Although she's not an addict, she does understand it because she works with addicts. And she comes to me for advice when she doesn't understand what's going on with her other patients. She comes to me and asks me to say, you know, where do you think I where do you think I who. Where should I point? Who's who? What direction should I point it? And I'm like, okay, so are they alcoholic? Give them the number for AA. Have they got OA? And she messaged me once and she said, I have this person who really wants to go to an OA meeting, but they've got body dysmorphic disorder. Is it okay to go to a meeting and not be on camera? And I said, absolutely. Of course it is. Of course it is. There's no reason why you have to be on camera. You can keep your camera off. Just you're absolutely welcome at these meetings. But she didn't
That's the
understand
thing,
that.
that's.
Thank you. So I found that don't know where I'm really going with this. Everything that I've been through, I wouldn't take any of it back. Somebody said to me in a meeting the other day that they said, resign from the debating society. And I'm like, no, I will not resign from the debating society, because I want to be an advocate. Because I know that people like me, people that who are neurodiverse, people who have dual diagnosis, are so underrepresented and don't have people to back them up. I found that myself. I'm just talking about myself, that it's difficult for people to see me as a whole person. I've been seen all of my life, I've been seen as this diagnosis, or this diagnosis, or this diagnosis, or this diagnosis. I've been passed backwards and forwards from mental health services to addiction services to mental health services. I can't deal with you. I can't deal with you. I can't deal with you. And there is no one service in this country that I know of that will deal with me as a whole person, will see me as an actual person, other than these rooms. When I come into these rooms, I know that you lot can see me as an actual person. You can see that I'm somebody who's struggling with addiction, and I'm struggling with mental health problems. And that's and you can see that as that just me as a person. I'm not just a symptom, whereas back out there in the professional world, they just see symptoms. They don't see me as a whole person, and I've struggled with that for all my life. So I've kind of gone on to a don't know, a kind of crusade, I guess. I've got a crusade going on. As I'm not gonna resign from the debating society. I'm gonna lead the crusade, and I'm gonna be there for all of you guys, and I'm gonna be there for all of the professionals who need to learn, who need to understand that we are real people. We're not just a bunch of symptoms. I'm not just a mental health patient. I'm not just an addict. I'm not just a bulimic. I'm not just a somebody who suffers occasionally from psychosis and a frequent attender for a hospital. I'm actually a person. I'm a real person, and all of that encompasses all of it. All of it. Put all of that together, and eventually you'll find that there's a real person underneath that. I'm not just a bunch of fucking symptoms. So stop passing me backwards and forwards from service to service to service to service. I can't deal with you. I just want those of us that are neurodiverse to be seen as a whole being, not just as a bunch of symptoms. I am more than my symptoms. I am more than the fact that I have seizures. I am more than the fact that I'm a bulimic, that I'm an alcoholic. I'm more than the fact that I've got that I'm neurodiverse. I'm no more than the fact that I've got borderline personality disorder, and my emotions go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down like cracking crazy. I'm more than that. I'm more than that. I'm me. I'm me. I'm Claire. I'm actually a person. I'm a whole being. Look at it holistically. Please look at it holistically.
That's your
And
time, Claire.
thank you, Tess. And I'll wrap up on that one. Just we are more than just a bunch of symptoms. That's what I want to wrap up on.